WGNS, Murfreesboro. W270 AF, Murfreesboro. W263 AI, Murfreesboro, Smyrna. We're the Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, Smyrna. Audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome in. And we have with us John Day, local attorney. Hey, John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us. Nice day out today.
Well, it is. It's going to be a great weekend, too.
It's a little bit more pleasant than it has been.
It needed to be. My air conditioning went in, out of my house at Sunday, and it's been 87 degrees in my house. And it took us until yesterday to get the air conditioning restored. So I've spent the night in three different motels, local motels, in the last three nights.
Well, you really appreciate air conditioners.
Yes, sir.
One thing we're going to be talking about today, we'll be talking about a unique case that has been very much in the news about boneless chicken.
Boneless chicken, that's correct.
And matter of fact, this is from Ohio. The Supreme Court is right on the edge of, you know, like so many other places, is it going to be Republican or Democratic? And so they're using this particular case to try to sway it one way or another. Tell us how this got started, because this shows there's some humor in the law.
Well, there is. Believe it or not, there's more of these cases, that is, humorous cases, that, quite frankly, even though the facts are a little odd, have pretty much legal significance. But these are the basic facts. 8 years ago, Mr. Berkheimer went into the local chicken place, a little restaurant called Wings on Brookwood, and ordered boneless wings. That's what it said on the menu, boneless wings. And apparently, boneless wings are cut up pieces of boneless chicken breasts. And they're breaded and they're fried, and then you can dip them into some sort of sauce. He went with Parmesan garlic sauce, and he bit into and started to chew and then swallow this piece of boneless wing, and there was a bone in it, 1 inch, one and 3/8 inches long.
That's pretty good-sized bone.
Pretty good-sized bone, which lodged in his esophagus, cut it, and he was badly injured. We can talk more about that later. So he brought a lawsuit against the restaurant and against the people who sold the food to the restaurant and the farming operation. And we can get into those details. That really isn't important here. And he said, listen, you sold me boneless chicken that had a bone in it, and I got hurt, and therefore you should be responsible for my medical bills and my loss of income. And the courts in Ohio threw him out, and the Supreme Court of Ohio decided that he should have been thrown out of court without a trial. And the idea, I'll give you the exact words of the justice on the Supreme Court who wrote this opinion. He said, no person would conclude that a restaurant's use of the word boneless on a menu was the equivalent of the restaurant warranting the absence of bones.
Okay. Boneless doesn't mean that. No.
Boneless doesn't mean the absence of bones. That is what this Supreme Court justice, who by definition has a law degree, ruled and threw the case out of court before it could be heard by a jury. So there are seven members of the Supreme Court in Ohio. Four members agreed with this. Three disagreed. And the three that disagreed said, okay, let's use a little common sense here. Boneless means the absence of bones. I mean, look it up in the dictionary. That's what it says. And they describe the notion that a consumer would not expect boneless chicken to be free of bones as utter jabberwocky. That is meaningless nonsense. And in quite a biting comment, the dissenting judges said that, you know, there is no support for the notion in the law that a consumer should not expect boneless chicken to be free from bones. And the reason there's no support for it is that no sensible person would ever write such a thing. So the law now in Ohio is that a restaurant can tell you you're consuming boneless chicken, but you can't count on that. You have to assume that you're being offered chicken that may well have it a bone in it, and you're taking a risk if you don't look for bones. Now, you say, well, this all sort of silly, John. I mean, some guy gets a bone stuck in his throat. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal was he ended up in the hospital for 2 months. He got a serious infection. 2 months. He was put into a medically induced coma twice.
Wow.
And he's got permanent heart and lung damage because of this injury received from this piece of bone that cut his esophagus. So this is not I got a paper cut on my finger, who can I sue type of case. This was a real injury caused to a consumer who testified, when they said boneless chicken, I thought it meant it had no bones in it.
You would think that. I mean, from what it says, boneless chicken.
Well, I would think that, and three members of the Ohio Supreme Court thought that, but four members did not. That basically they said, you know, chicken are born with bones. So it's reasonable to expect that there be bones in chicken. And I think that's true. I mean, if I sat down and went and ordered a plate of wings, I would expect that there may be, in fact, there almost certainly would be bones in wings. But if I pick up boneless wings, then do I not have a right to expect that they will be free from bones? That's the issue. And in Ohio, the court has said, you can't count on what you're told on a restaurant menu.
And would that hold true if it happened again?
Yes.
So they've set the precedent.
They've set the precedent. So let's say you go into a restaurant and you're told that you're buying fish and a fillet of fish, and it says bone-free. You can't count on that in Ohio, because I guess they're saying you shouldn't expect that it's bone-free, even if you're told that, because fish are born with bones.
That makes sense. Is that sort of the thing? Remember where you'd go into a restaurant and they would have whiting, this is whiting fish, and suddenly they started calling it tilapia.
Yes.
Because with it being raised on a farm, they couldn't claim it was one thing or another.
Yeah, I mean, the mere fact that the meat is flesh, is white color, doesn't necessarily mean that it is whiting. There are all sorts of fish that have that color
sure.
meat. So, yeah, different types of fish cost more or less money, right? And tilapia is well known to be a farm-raised, mm-hmm. lower-quality right. fish. I like the taste of it, quite frankly, but it isn't the same as whiting, which I have also had.
Now, what about the food today that has, and I was surprised to see this, a large amount of plastic in it? You don't advertise food that has plastic. You don't expect plastic in the food, and yet, doesn't a lot of food have plastic?
Well, I don't know that. I've read that in various news articles that lots of things have either plastics or derivatives from plastics because it's part of our water supply, right? I mean, so and there have been various lawsuits around the country trying to link that to cancers. I don't know where the science is on that.
Well, now back to Ohio in the Supreme Court there, 4-3 decision, and this is setting the precedence there from now on out.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, and it's the interesting legal issue is what types of cases should a jury decide and what types of cases should be decided by a judge. So the test is, if there is an allegation of a duty, a restaurant has a duty to sell safe food to its customers. And if there is evidence of a breach of that duty, somebody consumed that food and got injured, who should decide the merits of that case? Should it be decided by a jury, which is provided for in the Ohio Constitution, just like the Tennessee Constitution? The right to trial by jury shall be inviolate, is what they both say. Or are there certain circumstances under which a judge can take that issue away from a jury? And the test in Ohio and in Tennessee is, can any reasonable person find that the restaurant was negligent by saying it was selling boneless chicken when in fact the chicken it sold had a bone in it?
Now, wouldn't you think that the restaurant owner would have thought it was boneless too, or they would not have advertised it as boneless?
I would think so, yes. And that's
in fact, it probably didn't even enter their thoughts.
That's exactly why the supplier was brought into it, because there would be a question as to what the restaurant bought. Did they buy boneless breast fillets, or did they buy fillets bone in and debone them themselves, which would cost less money, right? At least less money for the product, more money for labor. Those details aren't in the opinion. There was testimony from the gentleman who usually cuts up chicken breasts, who said, yeah, we buy boneless chicken breasts, and I cut them into 1-inch pieces and bread them and throw them in a fryer. And of course, he had no memory of seeing bones in this particular piece or any other piece, I guess. But if you're cutting up pieces of chicken into about 1-inch pieces, you could see how a bone could end up in it.
Sure, sure.
Because the piece was only 1 3/8 inches long, the piece of bone. So you could miss it. The question is, who should be responsible for the financial consequences of that miss? Should it be the restaurant or the supplier, however they work that out between themselves? Or should it be the consumer who thought he was buying boneless chicken wings, but instead bought a boneless wing with a bone in it? And at the end of the day, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled that he should bear that consequence. It was up to him to look for bones in boneless chicken.
The man himself.
And so that, I guess that applies to children too, right? If a child, the same thing would have happened to a child, it's the child's fault, the Ohio Supreme Court would say, or the parent of the child's fault for assuming that the restaurant was telling the truth. That the chicken they were being served was boneless.
So from now on out, if a case like that comes up in Ohio, the verdict is already made.
That's right. The trial judge would be obligated to throw that case out of court.
And it would not have a chance of going before a jury.
Never have a chance, because the precedent, the word you used earlier, has been set. That is, consumers in Ohio have no right to expect that boneless chicken will in fact be boneless. And therefore, you are on your own. That's the law in Ohio.
Well, don't eat it in Ohio.
Well, there's several reasons for that, but even before this pandemic. No, bad joke. I love Ohio. Well, but let's carry it a little further. There are lots of people who have gluten allergies.
Okay.
Yeah. Gluten is a natural part of most flours, right? Maybe every flour. If you go into a restaurant and you see on the menu gluten-free bread, and let's say you follow that up and you ask your server, is this bread gluten-free? And the server says yes. So you get double assurance. But in fact, you are served bread that has gluten in it. Do you have a claim if you get injured? Or is it your fault for, I guess, not going back into the kitchen and looking at the bag from which the product was made to determine whether that they used a flour that did not have gluten?
I would imagine if you did that, they would, first of all, probably have you arrested.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're going back to the kitchen, you're not supposed to be back there.
Well, that's exactly right. So it's an interesting issue, I think, for consumers going forward. To what extent can you rely on the representations of the product seller when you purchase it? For instance, let's say you buy a ladder, and the ladder says it's certified for people up to 250 pounds. But in fact, it's only good for 125 pounds. And you, as a 250 pound person, crawl up on the ladder and it collapses. Did the ladder manufacturer do something wrong by representing that the ladder was stronger than it was in fact? Or is that on you as the consumer? You're supposed to figure out the ability of the ladder to withstand your weight, which means, I guess, you're supposed to know something about the composition of the metal and how much strength it should have under various conditions. Now, that's a little bit different because that's a manufactured product and the strength is determined by the manufacturing process, as opposed to a product that existed in nature, chicken. And chickens have bones in them when they're living. Should that mean you should always expect there to be bones in chicken? Supreme Court says yes. So it's a little bit different case, but my point is this, when at least I think most people believe that when they're told something is true by a seller of a product, whether it be boneless chicken or anything else, they should have a right to assume that what they're told is true. But, you know, who knows?
Interesting point. We have a question, and we'll bring it up after we take a break. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. John Day, local attorney, is with us this morning. We're talking about the law and some interesting twists to a certain law that is happening in Ohio. Stay with us. Much more to come. Right now, let's check on the traffic and weather.
Good morning. A couple of accidents are still in their clearing stages out here. It's actually moving at the moment on 65 southbound down through Millersville as that traffic volume increases even more in the last 15, 20 minutes through Hermitage as you come inbound on I-40 there through Hermitage into Donaldson. Coming in from Wilson County has been in pretty decent shape so far. Hey, whether you need a new roof repair, or roof inspection, independent roofing specialist, these guys have got you covered. Check out their website, irsroofs.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
WGNS encourages you to shop local. Let's patronize our local family businesses. Don't forget Walter Hill Elementary School's 100th anniversary celebration this Saturday. Don't miss it. That's 11 until 1 this Saturday at Walter Hill Elementary School. Have you signed up yet for the Adventures in Learning? It's coming back September 9th, 16th, and 23rd. Over at First United Methodist Church. And although it's at First United Methodist Church, It's sponsored by several area churches. The Adventures in Learning is back, and that's next month. The classic Arsenic and Old Lace starts next week over at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro. And Something Rotten continues through August 17th at the Arts Center of Cannon County in neighboring Woodbury. Don't throw away Old Glory. Bring your tattered American flag to WGNS and let the girls from BSA Troop 2019 at Trinity United Methodist Church retire it with dignity. Plus, we also recycle Bibles. Those are WGNS Good Neighbor events.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Hey there, Rutherford County. It's Rick and Bubba, and we are pumped to be on WGNS. Be sure to join us weekdays noon till 2 right here.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. We have all the items needed to spoil your pet, toys, food, treats, and more. Whether you're a new pet parent or a very experienced one, you'll find the items and help you need here at Animal City. We are proud and thankful to be celebrating our 33rd year in the Murfreesboro community. That's Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro. Please check out our Facebook page.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant. So many people buy so many different things. You know, I go out to eat and I like eating steak, where my wife will end up getting her salmon. Our salmon is cut fresh, so she loves her salmon. It's one of those places that you can go, you can get pastas or chicken. You know, the kids love it. Get what you want at Demas's Restaurant and not be limited just to one or two items. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Ryan with Tire World Laverne, here to serve all your automotive needs in Rutherford County. We welcome all your fleet and commercial accounts, along with all your regular routine maintenance. Tire World, a hometown family business you can trust.
Two powerful FM signals, one AM signal, and online at WGNSradio.com means that you can listen to us anywhere. AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. Seth Murphy is the winner today of that delicious banana pudding. Seth Murphy's having a birthday. Happy birthday, Seth. Our good neighbor of the day is Gabby Denny. Gabby Denny. And they are being thanked by a person for some very helpful business advice. Gabby Merdenny is our good neighbor of the day and receives flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family over at Ryan Flowers, coffee and gifts. Back again, and here's a question for John Day this morning. John, you ready for this one? We'll buckle down and grab this one.
Yes, sir.
This person says, I have been employed at the same company for about 30 years. About 9 years ago, the department manager stopped allowing me to work overtime in his department. Well, he retired, and I asked the new manager if he would let me do some overtime work. And he said, no, you're not going to do that. They allow others from other departments to work in his department, but refuses to allow me to do so. Do I have any type of discrimination lawsuit?
The answer to that is best given by an employment letter lawyer. I do personal injury work and wrongful death lawsuits. I do not do employment work because that's a different specialty of law. I will say this just generally. There's no duty to allow anybody to work overtime. That is, an employer can insist that you work the normal number of hours and not be eligible for any sort of overtime work. I can see, though, a potential problem if some people are given overtime, and if other people who have the same skill set are not. And but if somebody's truly discriminating, not on the basis of skills, but rather on the basis of race or gender or religion or age or national origin, then that can give rise to the responsibility of employer to make that right legally. So what I would recommend to the caller is to look for a local lawyer who does employment-related law and sit down with him or her and give them the facts and get advice from them. And this is the sort of thing, quite frankly, where you can lose your rights over time. So if the caller is truly concerned about this and wants it explored, I would encourage him or her to act as quickly as possible.
So this one goes away as a timeline.
Yeah, there's a deadline, and it, as I said, I don't do employment work, so I'm not familiar with what that deadline is, but I do know that there is a deadline and that you lose your rights if you do not act promptly.
Okay. Our phone number is 615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. Let's talk a little more about this boneless chicken case in Ohio, because that is... that's really bizarre.
Well, another thing that was amusing about this opinion from the majority of the court, remember that this case was decided, four judges saying that the consumer had no rights, three saying that the consumer should have a right to a jury trial. The four judges who said the consumer had no rights said that it was common sense that the label, that it was boneless chicken, was merely a description of the cooking style.
Cooking style.
Now,
boneless.
Yeah. Now, you've cooked, Bart.
To a degree. My wife would not, she wouldn't agree with that.
Okay, well, we have a similar degree of cooking, but both of us have enough cooking experience, or at least we've watched our loved ones do it, that describing something as boneless or bone-in doesn't say a whole lot about the cooking style.
Right. That's, well, I wouldn't think that's style at all.
Yeah. With all due respect to the judge who wrote these words, I don't know what the heck he was talking about. That just...
Where's Judge Caprio when you need him?
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And I want to make one other point clear. The judges who ruled in favor of the consumer, or would have, didn't say that the consumer had a right to win. What they said is that the consumer had a right, or should have had a right, to let a jury decide whether he had a valid case or not. So at the end of the day, in their mind, there should have been a trial, and each side should have been able to put on evidence, and each side should have been able to cross-examine the other one's witnesses. And at the end of the day, the jury would have been asked several questions, one of which was it negligent, was it wrong to tell consumers, including this gentleman who was hurt, that this chicken was boneless when in fact it had a bone in it? In other words, did they handle the representations and handle this product properly? And a jury could reasonably conclude, yeah, they messed up. Boneless chicken needs to be boneless. Or a jury could conclude, you know, under all these circumstances, this guy shouldn't have expected this to be boneless. And they make up their mind. And then they rule, they're the voice of the community, and then the case is won or lost. In fact, the gentleman who did lose this case without the benefit of jury trial said, listen, if the jury sent me home with nothing, I would have understood that. I don't understand why the Supreme Court of Ohio said I had no right to a trial.
And I thought that was one thing that our Constitution guarantees.
Well, it does. National and state, and the state of Ohio's Constitution says the right of by trial of trial by jury shall be inviolate. That's the Ohio Constitution and the Tennessee. Now, just like everything else, there are certain circumstances under which you do not have to permit a jury to hear a case. One of those circumstances is if no reasonable jury could conclude anything other than the restaurant seller did not do anything wrong. That was the challenge here. Could a reasonable jury have concluded that boneless chicken should be bone-free?
But the sad thing is, in Ohio, the people in that state have lost I mean, if this comes up again, if you have a problem with boneless chicken and it affects you, you don't have a recourse. You are not going to have a jury trial, period. Is that right?
Well, that's right. I mean, if the next person who eats a boneless chicken wing with a bone in it is a child, and the
child dies,
that case will not be filed, or it will be thrown out of court immediately because the Ohio Supreme Court has said you have no rights.
And that's the sad thing. The other part's humorous to a degree, but that is sad that child would lose their life, or whomever it would. They deserve their rights, it looks like.
They at least deserve the right to be heard, in my opinion. The right to be heard and have that type of case heard before a jury rather than decided by a judge without the benefit of a jury. That's sort of our system, you know.
How would you undo that? Could you undo that?
Well, the legislature, one of the legislators in Ohio, has introduced a bill that requires judges to use common sense.
Oh, my gosh.
I swear. And that sounds ridiculous. And it sort of is, quite frankly. But it's sad to think that anybody would even think that was necessary, right? That from now, this day forward, we want the Ohio Supreme Court to use common sense. But that's one way that it can be addressed. Another way it can be addressed is by specific legislation overruling the decision. So, for instance, you could see a law that says if a restaurateur represents that a product is free from bone, gluten, certain spices that, you know, trigger some people, whatever it happened to be, the restaurateur must stand behind that. And the failure to follow that representation means they're liable as a matter of law. That's the type of law you could pass. The problem with that is there's so many circumstances that can arise in the future that's hard for legislation to pick up all of the possible circumstances and draft a law in the way that it'll be meaningful and protective of the rights of consumers and the rights of restaurateurs in the future.
Here's a listener's question. They said that I am allergic to anything with beef or anything cooked near beef with beef in it, even liquids. I go into shock and could very easily die. I've been taken to the hospital many times with this, so I seriously ask each time if this chicken has been cooked near beef or is there a possibility of any beef juice in it, and they all assure me that it's not. Well, if somebody messes up, what would I would my case have a chance of ending up like this one? I mean,
well,
if you're ordering chicken, you don't think about beef.
Well, it would be a very interesting fight in Ohio because the argument from the restaurant in that situation in Ohio would be, listen, everybody knows, quotation marks, it's just common sense that foods in restaurants are going to be in contact with one another. And that's the natural way of things. And therefore, even though we told you that your product, your food had not been exposed to beef products, you should have known it was possible that it was. And therefore, I guess, maybe not eaten there. If I was representing the victim in that case, the person who was injured, this caller, I would say I had a right to rely on the representation of the restaurant, and they were in the best position to keep me safe because they had the ability to separate these foods. If they couldn't do so, or they weren't sure they did so. All they had to say to me was, "We think so, ma'am, but we can't promise." And I could have made the decision to go somewhere else. In other words, my argument would be, you robbed me of my choice to leave. And a jury should decide whether or not your representation and my response to your representation was reasonable, not some judge. In Tennessee, I think my argument would prevail. In Ohio, it would be a tougher argument, but there is a way to distinguish the case that we've been talking about, the boneless chicken case.
Now, should a case like that have a limit, a time limit on it after so many years, so many decades, whatever, it just fades away?
No, precedent is precedent forever.
Forever.
Until it is reversed by a court of that same level. So the Ohio Supreme Court could fix this. They could reverse it, saying, yeah, that was the law then, this is the law now. Or the legislature could reverse it by legislation. But until it is reversed by legislative action or Supreme Court action, it is the law of Ohio.
Well, the General Assembly probably would not do it because this has received so much news that they could look foolish or they could look like the good guys.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with legislation, and I'm going to irritate somebody when I say this, but here I go, is that there are lobbyists. And there aren't consumer lobbyists, particularly. There's a few out there, but when you go up to Capitol Hill, in whatever state you are in, the vast majority of the lobbyists come from business interests, including insurance company interests. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have a voice. They should. I mean, that's our system, right? But who are people going to, who are the legislators going to hear from? They're going to hear from industry people. And they're going to, what they're going to hear in this boneless chicken case is, listen, the Ohio Supreme Court, they're elected by the people just like you are, Mr. and Mrs. Representative. And they have already decided this. And we should not take the risk of being sued just because a piece of bone happens to end up in a piece of chicken. And the reasonable legislator might say, well, all you have to do is put on your menu, this chicken may have bones, rather than representing that it's boneless. It doesn't that solve your problem? And the lobbyists will say, well, 99.9999% of our boneless chicken doesn't have bones.
Interesting. It's interesting what comes up in court sometimes and the way that they try to resolve it.
It is fascinating. We had a case in Tennessee 30 years ago, Bart, that where a woman was raped and murdered in a parking lot in Shelby County in front of one of these big box stores. And the Supreme Court of Tennessee said, and the big box store said, well, how can we be responsible for rapes and murders? You know, it wasn't one of our employees. It happened in the parking lot. It ain't our responsibility. And the Supreme Court said, well, sometimes it can be your responsibility because you're inviting people onto the property and you know or should know about the crime rates in your area and you should take reasonable protections to protect employees. And so they said, we're going to let there be a jury trial on this. Did the store act reasonably to protect its employees? So immediately thereafter, there was a bill introduced in the legislature to reverse that law, saying, no, the Supreme Court was wrong. No, under no circumstances should a building owner or a business be responsible for the criminal activity of third persons. Well, I testified in the legislature against that legislation. I said, no, the Supreme Court was right. A jury should decide this. And one of my arguments was this. I will agree that no business is responsible for the criminal activities of third persons on their property, as long as they put up a sign every 200 feet that says how many rapes, murders, robberies, car break-ins, purse snatchings there have been on this property in the previous 2 years. And if they put up that sign and they light it at night and they let people know who go onto their property, how much risk they're assuming by going on there, then adults should be able to assume that level of risk. But what happens today is that people don't know how much crime there is in these parking lots or at these stores. And therefore, they're going in literally, quotation marks, in the dark and subjecting themselves to risk of criminal activity. And a jury should figure out whether the store owner acted reasonably.
Wow.
And you should really think twice about that. If you notice, instead of it being a printed sign, it's an LED readout. And that number is changing.
Oh, like gas prices.
That's right. We will be right back. Stay with us.
All right, guys. If you're only middle-aged but wondering why it seems harder to keep up,
you're not alone.
It may be caused by low testosterone. Testosterone therapy, or TRT, can help you get back to your best. But not just any TRT. Not those websites offering only basic treatments. You have to see the provider specialist at Low T Center. They offer advanced personalized treatments with over a decade of experience. At Low T Center, you'll start with a simple test and get your results in about 25 minutes. Go to LowTCenter.com to book your appointment online. LowTCenter.com. Low T Center. Reinventing men's healthcare.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Please come and see us for all your gardening, home, and farm needs. We have a great selection of clothing, farm items, and also our wonderful gift department. Please come see us for all your gift items. And we also have local honey. And if you're interested in being a beekeeper, we do have supplies for that. We have from hives to suits to whatever you need to take care of those bees. We're located at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Now more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS. Swap and shop with Bart Walker. Weekday mornings, 7:50 to 8:10 on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Interesting world that we are living in. John Day is bringing that to light for us. Stay, don't do anything wrong in Ohio. Stay away from the need of a court or something up there. John, some interesting things are happening in your life and some exciting things. You are a member of the American College of Trial Lawyers, and you've been very active in that group.
I have been, yeah. I was fortunate enough to be selected to be part of that organization in 2002. And this is, there's various types of legal organizations. There's some you can send in $100 and get a plaque. and there are others where you go through a rigorous, in the case of the American College of Trial Lawyers, it's a 2-year investigation process before you're invited to join. You don't even know you're being investigated during the process. And I was honored to be asked to be a part of that in 2002. And now I'm the treasurer of it.
That's a real honor. But you're about to move up to an even higher honor.
Yeah, so thank you. I will... the end of September, I will become president-elect, which means unless I mess up, which I guess I'm fully capable of doing, I would become president of the group in October of 2025. And it's being part of the group has been the biggest honor of my professional career, other than representing lots of great people. But in terms of professional accomplishments, I'm proud of it because it's a distinguished group with a 75-year-old history of 5,200 of the best lawyers in the United States and Canada.
And they look at you as leadership.
Well, they have so far. They've given me the opportunity to lead, and I've seized it, and I've looked forward to continue to do it the next, quite frankly, for the rest of my life. The joke is that once you're president, they've got you for life. And one good thing of the organization is that many of our past presidents do continue to serve on the board forever and continue to help lead the organization. So I look forward to participating in that.
That shows the level of success that you have had and the good that you do when you represent people. I think that speaks volumes for you and for your company too. But if we take it to another level, you are really coming up and putting the state of Tennessee and this entire region at a high level too. Tell us about the how many people have been, say, from Tennessee. This is an older group. I mean, it's been around for a while.
We'll be celebrating our 75th anniversary next year. There's never been an officer or a president from Tennessee.
Wow.
Never. Yeah. There's about, I think, 100 Tennesseans that are in the group across. There's 21,000 lawyers, and there's 100 of us who are part of it.
So nobody from Tennessee has ever been in one of the lead positions.
No.
And if we take it a step farther, if I would imagine that organizations like this have regional groups as well.
Yeah, we're Tennessee is part of the region that includes Ohio, Michigan.
We shouldn't have said anything about Ohio.
Oh, yes. And Kentucky. And so their last president was a gentleman from Louisville, and I believe that was like 40 years ago.
40 years?
Something like that, 35 or 40 years ago.
Wow. So not only are you the first ever from Tennessee, you're the first time in 30 or 40 years to have somebody from the entire region.
Yeah, it's a true honor for me and very humbling because there's, you know, I've had the opportunity to meet lots and lots and lots of really good lawyers from the United States and Canada as part of this group, and to be given the opportunity to serve in leadership is a thrill for me.
John, we are very proud of you.
Thank you.
And very proud of all that you do to represent this area. And the people who need a good lawyer, they're proud of you.
Well, thank you very much, Bart. It means a lot.
John Day, our guest this morning. Wonderful moments and we look forward to hearing exciting things from you and the Trial Lawyers Group there.
Thank you.
John Day visiting with us this morning here on WGNS Murfreesboro. Hope you have a super rest of the day, and we'll see you tomorrow.